all these events that we just read about. And everyone loves a good parade. And I think there's none better than the one that we have here on Palm Sunday, right? There's something irresistible about marching bands and military units, and they all march in this procession, and there are floats and dignitaries and fire engines and horse troops and clowns on stilts. Who doesn't love a parade? But sometimes a parade gets out of hand. The saying is popular in New York City that on St. Patrick's Day, the Irish march up Fifth Avenue and fall down Third. Sometimes a parade gets out of hand, and sometimes the crowd becomes a mob. There was a parade in Jerusalem long ago, and the authorities worried it might get out of control. It seemed like a spontaneous event at first, but on more careful reading, it appears one man thought about it and planned the whole thing. His name was Jesus. And he was a teacher, and he was a healer. He came from Galilee in the north. And now he's coming into the capital city, Jerusalem. He's got this small band of followers with him, and they are there to celebrate Jewish Passover. And surely, he could have entered the city through one of the massive gates, along with thousands and thousands of other pilgrims, and he would have come pretty much unnoticed. But for some reason, a few miles outside of the city, he instructed his friends to go ahead and get a small donkey that he has apparently arranged for. And then he sat on it, and starting just outside of the city at the Mount of Olives, he rides in. And everyone who was there and everyone who saw it immediately understood what was going on. This, all the Jewish people thought, was exactly what the prophets had talked about. The long-awaited Messiah was here. And so, when they see it, the crowds erupt in cheers and shouts and hosannas, and they strip their coats from their backs and branches from the trees, and they lay them on his path. It is Passover, and people are celebrating their liberation from Egyptian slavery centuries before. So they are already in that move. But Romans are there too, and they are ready to take over if this parade gets out of hand. So why would Jesus come to Jerusalem, into the very seat of this powerful people who oppose him? He seems to know exactly what he's getting himself into. He repeatedly tells his followers that the results of this very journey will be, at best, he says, a terrible conflict and suffering. And at worst, exactly what happened, death. But sometimes I think you have to do what you have to do. Sometimes, to be you, you have to stretch, you have to risk, you have to go where you have never gone before. For many years now, around Palm Sunday, I read from a book called Markings. It's written by Dag Hammarskjöld, who was a Secretary General of the United Nations in the 1950s, and he died in a plane crash while he was on a peace mission in Africa. Marking, the book, is a record of his relationship with God, his doubts and his questions and his struggles with his purpose and meaning in his own life. I don't know, he writes, who or what put the question. I don't even remember answering. But at some moment, I did answer yes to someone or something. And from that hour on, I was certain that existence is meaningful, and therefore my life in self-surrender had a goal. And as he struggled with his own vocation and made the decision to lay his own life on the line, a decision that actually cost him his life as well, Hammarskjöld thought about Jesus and Jesus' decision to ride into Jerusalem. He said, a young man, adamant in his commitment, who walks the road of possibility to the end without self, fulfilling the destiny that he has chosen. I tell you, my friends, you cannot observe Palm Sunday without hearing the call to follow Jesus into the city. It's a mandate. It's a mandate to his people, to his church, to this church too, St. Philip's. A call to love and serve this city, our neighborhood, and its people, to roll up sleeves and risk bruises and dirty hands in extending God's love to our neighbors. You cannot hear the Palm Sunday story without asking where his people are today and where we should be. Maybe welcoming the hungry and homeless, maybe tutoring youngsters, or standing with those who are anxious and afraid, those who are unemployed without hopeful options, welcoming the very young and the very old, visiting the sick, comforting the grieving, encouraging those who are discouraged. That's what it means to follow Jesus into the heart of the city, into the very living, breathing center of human life, where human beings live and love and die. So the day ends for Jesus, the day that he rides into Jerusalem. It ends when he goes to the temple. He looks around and he leaves. He chooses not to use violence to make his point. His point being that God is a God of steadfast love who does not remain on the peripheries of life but comes to the center of the city and also the center of your life, your heart, and asks to be there, to live with you there, and to reign as Lord of your life. The philosopher Nietzsche despised Christianity, said it was a religion for victims, but not so on Palm Sunday. Because you simply cannot absorb this day and Jesus' compelling courage, his fearlessness, and his passionate love without wanting to be yourself more courageous, more willing to lay it all on the line, to love more passionately, more fiercely, to be adamant yourself that you will follow Jesus wherever he leads you, than that you will plant your banner and that you will live your life with new intentionality, with new purpose, and new courage and love. May it be so as we enter this holy week. Amen.